VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Don't chase the latest fad. Let somebody else be the bleeding edge. Nothing that we do is worth betting your whole lifestyle and future on. So if you don't understand the business, and as my wife could tell you, I'm the least handy person in America. If I started a contracting business, it would be a disaster. So really focus on your skills, what you understand, and your growth. Don't chase the latest franchise that somebody pitches you on that you really don't understand.
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Think Business with Tyler. Today, we're diving into the finance world with Mark Ritter, the man who's reshaping how credit unions support our small business community. From life in the Pennsylvania wilds to the ins and outs of business lending, Mark's got insights you won't want to miss. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and let's get our business brains buzzing. Hey, Mark, thanks for being on the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How's it going today?
Pretty good, Tyler. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for being on the show. So before we get into the questions I'm going to hit you with, I'd love to learn a little bit about you. Can you share with us what you do professionally and maybe something anecdotally about you personally?
Sure. My name's Mark Ritter and the CEO of Member Business Financial Services. I just call it MBFS for simplicity's sake. And a short answer is I'm in the credit union space. And I am the CEO of a company that is owned by 13 credit unions, and we work with more than 100 credit unions across the country to help bridge small business owners and real estate investors to credit unions. You know, we're owned by the credit unions to support their programs and drive loans and help everybody succeed.
Yeah, that's an important thing you do. Now, before we get into the questions, something about you personally, anything you're open to sharing?
Oh, yeah, sure. I had a big shift in life last year. I was a typical suburban Philadelphia guy my whole life, you know, with the family. And then we had a shift last year when my youngest graduated high school. We moved to the mountains of north central Pennsylvania, where I spend my life hiking. We have a golf course nearby, actually, and fishing just about every day. To give you an idea of my life now, the county where I live in northern Pennsylvania has a population of 5,800 people in the whole county.
Wow.
So we have our trail cam with bear and deer and eagle and beavers and every other piece of wildlife that comes across. So I am a happy product of the remote work environment.
What a cool way to transition. In fact, of course, the listeners can't see this, but your window behind you with the beautiful trees and the snow speaks to the environment you're in right now. It looks a little cold right now, but I'm sure it's gorgeous when the snow's gone.
It's a little cold, but every day, you know, 9 months of the year, I'm hiking and fishing. So
cool. I love also the wildlife. That must be cool to get videos and pictures of some of the wildlife.
Oh, it's beautiful to see all the different animals and the seasons and the transitions. So, and the fall is absolutely gorgeous too.
So cool. Hey, so where I'd love to start, what is the climate right now when it comes to lending to mostly businesses, small businesses, but real estate too, just in case some people out there are interested in real estate? What are you seeing? What's the market like?
Yeah, sure. It's a heck of a lot different than those low interest pandemic years from two fronts. You know, first of all, as everybody knows, money is a lot more expensive than it was before. And that's the norm. You know, we'll have those cycles of going up, going down, and I think we'll go down a little bit this year. But the biggest piece that everybody needs to watch out for is that relationship that you have with your local financial institution. You really have to understand their liquidity, because there's a lot of institutions out there that were highly leveraged, bought a lot of investments, made a lot of low interest loans, and they don't tell you and put a sign on the door that says we're not lending, but they will tweak their terms to make it so they're not lending. So you really have to have those blunt conversations with people to say, what's your status right now? Are you lending or are you not? And it might not have anything to do with your particular creditworthiness. It's a them problem, not a you problem.
That sounds like straight out of Seinfeld. I don't know if you ever saw that episode that said, it's not you, it's me.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I got it. So it sounds like it's a tough climate is what I kind of gleaned from what you just said. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, and it's not everybody. It's not everywhere. Loans are still being made. But, you know, you might have this nice fluffy relationship that you've had for years, and all of a sudden when you want to expand, you're not quite getting the service that you need. You may have to shop a little bit more than you thought because of the liquidity squeeze at the institutions nationwide.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. iBridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
You may have to shop a little bit more than you thought because of the liquidity squeeze at the institutions nationwide.
Okay, got it. So now I want to get a little bit more into your story and just talk more about business lending. Now, regardless of really kind of how the market is right now, because as you said, yep, things kind of change. Sometimes it's a little tough, sometimes it's a little easier. You started this business lending program, I understand, from scratch. And I just kind of wanted to get the story behind that. Like, how did this all start? What gave you, and especially with credit unions, how did this all progress?
Sure. I have about a 23-year career now in credit unions, just helping small businesses. And there was two pieces of that. The first time is many, many years ago, I got hired by a credit union and they said, we want to help out businesses. And I was probably way too young, way too inexperienced, and neither of us knew how inexperienced we were. And we really built up a business lending program from scratch. You know, it was the Wild West. Credit unions at the time did very little small business lending. And then 11 years ago, I transitioned to a company that we refer to as a CUSO, as their CEO, Credit Union Service Organization is what CUSO, and that's owned by, rather than working for a credit union specifically, I now have 13 credit unions owners as bosses and work nationwide. And in this particular case, I took over a company, I was all wide-eyed and ready to go. And I was the fifth CEO in 5 years at this company, and it was not doing well. So I always had those technical skills and really learned a lot from the management and building and team building side. I've learned a lot of life lessons.
Sounds like it. Now, when you say you have 13 bosses, does that mean you have 13 CUSOs? So there's a group under each one? No.
We're owned by 13 credit unions. So I have 13 CEOs as my board of directors.
Got it.
So yeah, it's quite interesting dynamics dealing with that many owners, and but they're a good group and really supportive of us.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you kind of answered my question around having a challenging situation with Acuso and how you pulled out of it. Well, at least maybe you could dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
How did you, like, you had a challenging one, and then what were some key strategies that you applied to have success, turn it around?
Yeah, sure. And I knew business lending. I knew the credit union space. I had a lot of friends. Some of my friends were owners. And honestly, I thought I could just kind of lift up my successful group that I had at the credit union and drop it in here and keep things rolling. But I really had a focus on turning around a company that had nothing to do with the techie stuff. It was just customer satisfaction. Talking to our clients didn't like dealing with us. It was really getting into the basics of how the mail was sent. And we're, you know, the stupidest thing I ever had to deal with is we had the wrong zip code on our envelopes and mail would get rerouted for weeks. And just talking to your clients and solving their problems instead of thinking, I have the solution, I'm going to drop it on you. And building those relationships with your customers and your clients and building trust. And then we really focused on people, you know, getting the right people on the ship to who cared about the customers and who had the culture to that we were looking for, and not looking for people who were a little bit more combative. You know, I have a lot of great employees from Philadelphia, but you tend to, when you get have a big group, you tend to get a little bit of a Philadelphia attitude. So really kind of turning that around and making it a positive environment, focusing on accuracy, focusing on the details, talking to our clients on what they were looking for, you know, and none of that had to do with the technical part of what I do. And that's really, you know, when we make loans, most of the time when they go sideways, it's not that the product isn't good. It's the management side of things that really turns, that really goes sideways. It's those external factors and not just, you know, the widgets that you make.
Yeah, yeah. What are, you know, sometimes people, when they think of credit unions, they don't necessarily think of small business lending. What do you think are some common misconceptions about credit unions? And then what are you doing, or are there things that you're doing that maybe to dispel those myths?
Yeah, sure. When you think about it, 125 million Americans belong to credit unions. But where's the easiest place to get that banking and those financing that you need? It's where you have those primary relationships. And people, there's two misconceptions that credit unions don't help small businesses. You know, that's why I like to come on shows such as yours and talk about the great things that we do. And there was a period of time that was indeed the case. Credit unions did not help small businesses, but they do now. And they do very successfully. They're funding over $50 billion a year in small business loans nationwide. So the other piece is that credit unions are accessible. If you're driving home today and you pass a credit union, there's probably a 95% chance that you can go in and open an account. Whereas it used to be, well, credit unions, it was for one for teachers and one for government employees and one maybe for this factory, and they were very closed. But credit unions today are very open and accessible, and they have money to lend out to small businesses, and they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm an associate board member of a credit union called Star One Credit Union, and unfortunately, Star One doesn't do any business banking. Is this still common? Is this just unique to Star One, or are there credit unions that still are kind of warming up more to business clients?
For credit unions over 100 million in assets, more about 65% of the credit unions about 65% of the credit unions in the country over 100 million fund loans to small businesses. And the challenge of a credit union is when you want a new product, you have to buy systems, you have to hire people, you have to you know, build up all the policies. And that's really what we deliver to the credit unions, is a way to help businesses, but do it more on a turnkey basis to make it more effective. Because with the average size of most credit unions, if they had to spend $1 million to build out systems and hire people, it doesn't make it cost effective. And that's where QSOs help people deliver solutions. The other piece that we do is credit unions generally are smaller institutions. So we actually help, but we bring credit unions together to fund loans. And that's pretty common for us. You know, you're in Northern California, a $5 million property, unfortunately, isn't very big in your area.
Unfortunately.
So many times an individual credit union could not fund that. We actually, within our group of credit unions, bring people together to fund it. So all you know is you got a loan through your credit union, but we can fund it cooperatively among the other credit unions.
And then I assume you guys are also probably servicing the loan. Is that correct?
We have servicing portfolios. We do documentation. We help credit unions underwrite.
Oh, that's cool.
So all of the ancillary work. Yep.
This is, yeah, kind of getting more of a clear picture. You guys are just like plugging them right into a product line without, I would imagine you even provide most of the expertise then in terms of qualifications. Yes. And review and committees of approval and probably interface with the credit union and how to do, and you know, what they need to do in their role and how you handle that process of moving it forward.
Exactly. We're really bringing scale. We're bringing systems. We're bringing efficiency, so that small businesses can get the loans through credit unions.
Very cool. So let's talk about the business owner now. So someone's thinking about getting a loan. They've got an established business. Any advice you can give in terms of what are good things that they can do to be a good borrower and look better to the lender in terms of getting what they want to get?
Sure. My number one advice to any business owner is to first of all, do your homework and not treat every institution in your area as if it's the same. Banks and credit unions are think of us as more like restaurants. All restaurants serve food. Some people make it fast and cheap. Some people make it really expensive. Some people are drive-through. Some people are fast food. It's, you know, it's that's kind of how financial institutions are. There's people who just specialize in mortgages. There's people who just want doctors. There's people who just want real estate loans. So if you get frustrated, sometimes you're just not shopping at the right place. In general, there's always somebody who's a good fit for you. Sometimes it just takes a few conversations. And you, when you talk with somebody at a bank or a credit union, you really have to talk to them as an equal. You know, sometimes people are intimidated by talking to the lender. They don't want to tick them off by asking the tough questions. It's your money. It's expensive. There's a lot at the stake. Have that tough conversation. And the other piece that where we see deals slow down is when a lender has a checklist and says, I need these 10 items. If you don't think they need the items, they need all 10 items. Get the whole package. Maybe get your accountant involved. If you're busy at your job, you know, get somebody on your team to help put the, if they need 3 months bank statements, don't say, they don't need that. Get them the bank statements. If they want a signed personal financial statement, sign your personal financial statement. Sometimes I even look at these lists and say, that's kind of silly, but if you want your money quickest, get the whole package. And the questions they ask, they're not looking to criticize your business. They're looking to say, how can I show that this loan is going to get paid back? And most of the time, they're asking questions almost that a consultant would ask of, we see this in your numbers. It's an anomaly. Can you help explain it to us? So take the feedback and questions serious and get them everything that they need, and you will have a much, much more pleasant experience.
If you're a business owner feeling stuck in your business, overwhelmed, responsible for everything that happens, and working long hours, Tyler helps his clients develop processes, hire high-performing team members, and better understand their financial metrics and numbers to allow for a more predictable, less hands-on business. To schedule a free, no-pressure consultation, head to thinktyler.com and click the meeting button. Tyler would love to see if he can help you work on your business, not in your business. Schedule a consultation today at thinktyler.com. Think life, think success, think business.
So take the feedback and questions serious and get them everything that they need, and you will have a much, much more pleasant experience.
Is there a good time that a business should be asking for money? I mean, is it, a lot of times we'll hear like, hey, the time to ask for money is when you don't need it. One, is that true? And then is there, I mean, when you're approaching a credit union, what's good reasoning? You know, what is good timing in terms of looking for that extra capital?
Absolutely. It is so much better to have it prepped and ready to go and have your line of credit in place or be pre-approved. Now, if you're calling me on a Friday and say, I'm going to the auction tomorrow and need a pre-approval letter, that puts everybody in a jam and it's tough to get done. So yes, you want have those conversations and talk about where your business is going in the future, in your future cash flow cycles, and not wait until there's an actual need, because you will be much, much more pleased with the experience. And quite frankly, you can negotiate better deals for yourself.
Okay. What are the common reasons people get rejected or denied?
The number one reason by far, it's not even close, and it has nothing to do with your business. It is your personal situation. It is not even close. And many times a business owner will say, well, that's my business is fine and that's personal, so I separate them. In today's world, you know, we really look at global cash flows and we look at global situations. You know, if you pull less money into your business and you're teetering financially, well, that's going to spill over to your business. If your business can't pay its bills, but you're pulling out every dollar out of it, well, that's eventually going to hurt your business. So really, as a lender, what we do is smash your business and personal financials together to come up with a total picture. So that's really the focus of institutions all across America. Now, there are places that just say, I'm just going to look at your business and I don't care what your personal situations. They're charging 35% interest rates.
Sounds like a hard money loan.
That's a hard money loan.
So when you combine their personal and business, does that lead ultimately then to them personally guaranteeing it too? Is that a mandatory requirement usually, or is that something that gets waived?
There are waivers of personal guarantees. It is much rarer. And here's the general rule that people should think about. If you control your business, or if you just walked away from your business, what would it look like? Would it still operate? And I'll give you a perfect example. If I do a real estate loan and it's leased 100% by Walmart, I don't really care what you're doing and if you do anything, because Walmart's going to pay the rent check. But if you're a truck driver and you aren't driving the truck and you just stop driving, I'm not going to get paid back. Now, as you go up the food chain in complexity of your business and the shareholder structure and almost to that middle market corporate type lending, sure, you don't see as many personal guarantees. But for 99% of the people, you're going to see personal guarantees in our space. And you're also going to see a lot of savings as a result.
So let's say I'm a business owner and I've owned my business for a few years. I've had consistent growth, $2 million of revenue, decent GP, bringing money to the bottom line. I am pulling out most of the profits and draws. And I come to you and I say, hey, I need more capital so I can scale faster. What's that conversation going to look like with you?
Sure. We want to see where your business is going and what your growth cycle is. And really, we're going to be looking at your cash flow, your receivables, what that's coming in like. And if you're in what I'll call a fast growth mode, one of the things, and it used to be a bad word because the process was such a nightmare, but now one of the best deals that you could ever get is an SBA loan. What you're seeing out there in the marketplace is, you know, the pandemic brought a record number of people starting their new businesses. Well, they're starting to mature and they're starting to grow a little bit and they're starting to establish themselves a little bit more, where the numbers are just on an upward trend. And maybe you're more of a service-oriented business, or you're a retail shop and you need a lot of inventory to grow or add locations, and you have to lease out some new space. Oftentimes, that SBA loan is going to give you more financing than any other option. It's going to give you the best rates, and it's going to give you the longest terms. That's going to ease your payments, and you could pay it back anytime with free cash flow.
Okay. Any advice for entrepreneurs that come to you and go, hey, you know, I need a loan because I want to be able to grow, but I'm also thinking about selling in the future. Anything there that you might say to them when they bring in the word selling in the future?
You know, we love it if people, our best stories are when people can grow their business and sell it, because that means we're here to help you succeed. And as you know, a credit union is a co-op. Now, people don't understand that we're a co-op and we're not just here for your business loan. They want you. And if you can sell your business and need investments and deposits and money management services, you know, we want to be here for all of the cycles of your life and help you transition through. So we would be ecstatic if that was your plan, because we're here for your complete relationship and to help the community.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Hey, you've been quoted as saying, if you need a loan to survive, you have other things going on. If you need a loan to help grow your business, that's where we can be a partner. We've already talked about this a little bit, but I'd love to just get into it a little bit deeper because I like the quote. What does that mean? If you need a loan to survive. Like, people do, I'm sure, come to you and go, hey, you know, I may not make payroll in 2 weeks. What's that conversation look like?
Yeah, those are the toughest and sometimes the most heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because your institution, if you need a lifeline just to make it through, honestly, when the money that I give you is probably just going to exacerbate the problem and start a bigger spiral. You know, it might solve your problem today, but in a month when those notes start coming due, you're going to really struggle. And what we do as lenders is when somebody's having trouble, we try to figure out if there is an event that happened or if it was a trend. And is this something that is just inherent to the business where things have gone wrong? Every business that you have ever talked to, every business that I have ever talked to, they have bumps in the road. I'm living in Pennsylvania in the winter, and sometimes we have really heavy snows where people don't get out and shop at your business. Or if you're in the snowplow business and it doesn't snow, you're going to struggle. But overall, we know the average. But, you know, if you're selling DVDs at your retail store, you know, there's a trend that business went away that I'm not going to fix. And it's the same thing when we look at those emergency situations. Is this a true emergency, or it's just the business is on a continual downhill climb that we're not gonna help out?
Yeah. How about back taxes? You ever have a business come to you and go, hey, I either haven't made my payroll taxes or I haven't, you know, I'm behind on a little bit of taxes. How do you guys approach something like that? Have you seen that? And what do you do?
The biggest indicator of inherent trouble for us is if you're not paying your real estate taxes, because that's the first one that people bump off, because you think it's going to be 2-3 years till I can kind of make it up. Or more troubling is if you're not paying you some payroll taxes or things like that, because you're essentially financing your business with the taxes. And what's tough for us is Uncle Sam sometimes can jump ahead of us for these tax situations.
Yeah, they get to the front of the line.
They tend to go to the front of the line and kind of push us to the side.
Many, many years ago, I had a client when I used to practice as CPA, and the guy literally, because he had cash flow issues, serious ones, and had a very high lifestyle, had this beautiful, I think back then it was like $5,000 a month place he was renting, so really high lifestyle, and he wouldn't pay his payroll taxes. He literally would use the money from the payroll taxes to fund this lifestyle and this business. And when I came in, he was 3 years into it, and the IRS really hadn't even caught up to him yet. And then the poor guy, he passed away from a heart attack, which wasn't really a lot of surprise considering all the stress he was under. But it's just amazing that you do see businesses occasionally that they use, you know, payroll taxes or whatever as funding sources. And it kind of is the death kiss of a business if you get too far behind in that way of doing things. I don't see how you overcome that.
Unfortunately, your lifestyle can really impact, two of the same businesses making the same profit. But, you know, I'm here in Pennsylvania. I've spent a lot of time in central Pennsylvania financing the Amish businesses. They don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Everything good. And people think the Amish are poor, but when you look at their bank accounts and the profitability of their business, it's amazing. Because it's lifestyle and overhead.
That's hilarious. They're just very frugal. Would that be the right word? Very conservative with their money?
Very conservative with their money. Very conservative with their overhead. When you're not paying electric bills and everything else, car payments and
cell phones.
You know, you're worrying cell phones and all of those, you can make a nice living. And they do.
That's fascinating. That's an interesting tidbit. Hey, I'd love to end putting you on the spot a little bit here, but do you happen to have a business tip or an entrepreneurial tip, something that you could share with us that we could walk away with and maybe apply to our own businesses?
Sure. And I think really it's kind of a tried and true one, but really focus on what you know for that piece. Don't chase the latest fad. Let somebody else be the bleeding edge. Nothing that we do is worth betting your whole lifestyle and future on. So if you don't understand the business, and as my wife could tell you, I'm the least handy person in America. If I started a contracting business, it would be a disaster. So really focus on your skills, what you understand in your growth. Don't chase the latest franchise that somebody pitches you on. That you really don't understand, then it's a new concept and you're just rolling the dice on it. So,
does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. I bridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
Don't chase the latest franchise that somebody pitches you on that you really don't understand, then it's a new concept and you're just rolling the dice on it. So,
yeah, that's a great one. And by the way, I usually say I'm the least handy person in the world. So I think I got you beat. You qualified it by America. I'm the world. I lack skill in that area. So your website is mbfs.org. So I'm going to say it again, MaryBenFrankSam.org. I really encourage listeners out there to go check it out. Mark's a great guy and appreciate the time that you've taken, Mark, to share your story and just tell us a little bit about the lending world as it relates, especially in the credit union space. I think it's really cool. So thank you.
Thank you, Tyler. And if you connect with us and we don't have a credit union directly in your area, we'll match you up with one of our friends. We have connections all over the country with companies like myself and credit unions.
And on that note, Mark, other than your website, is there anywhere else you'd want people to reach out to, LinkedIn or anywhere else?
I'm very active on LinkedIn. Mark Ritter and Member Business Financial Services is out there. We love to keep in touch with the small business community out there. And like I said, if you just have a question about the financing you're considering. We just love to help people get them pointed in the right direction so they don't make a mistake in the future.
Sure. Appreciate it, Mark. Have a good one, and I appreciate your time on the show.
Thank you, Tyler.
Take care.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Baklaan.
And I'm Eden Upper.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electrocast production.
See you there.